The foot bone's connected to the leg bone. The leg bone's connected to the knee bone. The knee bone's connected to the ouch bone. Doing the skeleton dance.
The ouch bone.
The ouch bone. There's a lot of ouch going on in my knee right now.
What's
I don't know
going
what
on?
I don't know what's happened. Right.
I mean, you walked in this morning. You looked like you would. You
is
know,
that what you call it? Walking?
Well, no, you hobbled in, literally hobbled in, and we thought, oh, here we go.
I had one of those moments. I don't know what I've done. I was in the kitchen yesterday. I was cooking. This is probably where it's all
That's
gone
where
horribly
it's wrong.
Wrong.
You should never cook
because I was out of my element. I wasn't where I belong.
Mm.
I was in the kitchen.
Eating? You've never hurt yourself eating.
No,
but
I was
cooking.
I was taking something out of the oven. I stupidly cooked yesterday, first time in years. And I went to take something out of the oven, turn around to the bench, and I don't know if my leg didn't come with me or my knee didn't come or something happened. And there was that old, you know, that feeling where your knee just sort of pops out to one side.
Right.
And, you know, you just sort of think, oh, that's one of those things that it's like when you roll your ankle or something, you think, oh, pop it out. Oh, it's going to be a bit sore for a little bit, but I'll be good. Got up this morning, can't put any weight on it.
Can't
put weight on it. I don't know what I've done. It's like I can feel it as if it's bending the wrong
with
way.
With respect, you looked 100 years old this morning.
I know. Like, and this is my good knee. It's the good one. I don't know what's happened. And so I'm like, is this just because I'm old? It's like, ow, me age. And we normally come on and we go, ow, me arm, ow, me knee when we hurt ourselves. And now I'm going, ow, me age.
I mean, you said before, it's like when you roll your ankle. It's not. When you feel like your knee's going in the wrong direction, that's not a good sign.
It really...
That's really not a good sign.
It really hurts. So I didn't know what to do. I called we called producer Janine this morning just going, I don't know what to do because I can drive because it's my left leg, but also I can't walk anywhere. So I can get to work, but then once I'm in my position, I can't move. And that's what I've done.
I'm getting the ow me age. I'm 36 and I'm getting a few of the classics, but I think it's those ones where you, as you mentioned, you don't know how you've done it. You've just done something.
Oh, you've gone to sleep and you just wake up and you're like, now I've got an injury.
A couple of weeks ago, I was just bending over the bed, folding some clothes, and all I did was stood up.
Yes.
And my back went. And it was one of those where I went, Oh God, I'm just getting old. It's an old person injury. How me age?
God, we're
wait
so
till
young.
You get dizzy.
Really?
From bending over. Oh, you got great things about to happen to you. Don't worry.
Tammy and Joondalup, hello.
Hi, how you going?
Good, mate. What's wrong?
Ow, me age. I think I was about 36. I was cooking dinner one night. I had four kids cooking dinner one night, and I sneezed. And my neck went. My neck out. Normally after four kids, you know, you'd wee yourself.
Yes, right.
Oh my God. Kyle. Hey Kyle.
Hey guys, how you going? Tell me age.
Yeah, tell us about your age, Kyle. What have you done?
So basically at the age of 30, I was standing at work, I was looking at the computer, and then all of a sudden I felt pop and I popped two discs in my back. I was on a walking frame for a year and a walking stick, and I had to have a micro discectomy in my L5 and S1 discs in my spine.
Wait, so you were standing there at the computer?
Yeah, literally.
Oh my.
Standing there.
So this could happen at any time, and you were 29, 30. That's
yeah.
This is really unnerving.
It caused a lot, and speaking of nerves, it actually caused quite significant damage to my left sciatic nerve as well.
Oh, Kyle.
Are you okay now?
Yeah, how old are you now?
Yeah, full recovery. It was about a year and a half's worth of after surgery of recovery time and walking frames and not doing anything for myself, but I'm good now, full recovery.
Images of you getting around like Forrest Gump in those, like, you know, all the gear for a year just because you were standing once.
And hopefully,
yeah, I got some odd stares at the shopping centre when trying to do groceries.
And hopefully, you've learned your lesson, Kyle. You're not standing anymore. Dangerous activity like that.
Sport can be good on a Saturday. It can be great on a Sunday. And with Clean Heat, that's bloody awesome on a Barramundi.
Morning to you, Barra.
Hey, morning, guys. Yes, it's a big day, a big party at the West Coast Eagles today as well, actually, because it's Free Willy Day.
Oh.
You remember when what was Willy a?
Killer whale?
Killer whale, yeah. You know when he gets set free and goes into the ocean? Well, today is when Willy Rioli gets set free from his suspension, his exile, and he returns to the West Coast Eagles. Hasn't been allowed to come back to the club for 647 days.
Wow.
So what's he just been training at home?
Basically living on the Tiwi Islands, training on his own, getting in a bit of strife. 21 months. And the amazing bit is that in that time, this is how quickly AFL clubs move on, 15 or 16 new players have come to the club. So he hasn't met 15 or 16 of the players. Mm. So today it's, g'day, Willie Rioli, you might have heard of me.
So as of today, he's back, he's training. He could, if he trained really well, he could play.
He's got another 8-week block of training, and they won't let him play until August 20, I think it is.
Okay.
So they let him come back to train, but he's not allowed to play. So they're really putting him through the ringer.
Mm.
I suppose the question now is, was there any penalty for that hiccup at Darwin Airport?
Mm.
And also, is he getting any treatment as well? Because at the time, the club said, look, you might need a bit of counselling and, you know, extra care. So let's hope.
Don't we all?
Yes, we do. Mm. That's exactly right. We could all do with that. And there's a big open session tomorrow at the club at 10:30. So I reckon there'll be a heap of people going down there just to see, will he come back? Because he was a premiership player and very, very popular guy.
Well, good luck to him.
Even considering his circumstances. Mm. Well, the Western Bulldogs arrived last night in Perth. Now, they have to, you won't believe this, Kimber, they have to quarantine in isolation at Joondalup Resort for a week.
So hang on. Poor they're things. Quarantining Terrible. For less time than anyone else who was coming here. But yeah. Am I meant to be feeling like, the poor guys, I can't believe they've made them do it. I can't believe they have to follow the regulations that everyone else
did. Stop putting it in perspective, will you?
Oh, I've got to play another round of golf.
Oh, my God.
Well, they're not happy about it because no one else is quarantining. And the funny bit is it's a bit like the Willy Wonka movie, you know, when the kids weren't allowed to eat anything or whatever. Yes. So they're at this wonderful golfing resort, this magnificent golf course. The USPGA is on TV, and the US Open, and they can't play golf. They're not allowed to play golf. They're allowed to go for a walk, which is basically
That's what golf is, isn't it? You go for a long walk.
Golf would be pretty, you know, you're out in the open, you've got your own ball, your own clubs. Yeah,
but when you yell, "Foot," you can give COVID to people. Mm.
And where the ball goes, you might stray into areas where you, when you're searching for your ball. I think it was Mark Twain
who said,
Mark Twain who said, golf is a good walk spoiled.
Mm. Yes, that's a great quote.
So maybe they're better off.
Yeah. Mate, the Wildcats, can they do it? Can they bounce back from here?
Mate.
Legitimately.
I hate to say it. They've got to win 3 games in Melbourne to
Big
do
task,
it.
Big task, isn't it?
And they've got so many injuries. They were so brave Friday night and yesterday. No Bryce Cotton, who's the MVP, of course. Luke Travers didn't play. Clint Steindl didn't play. The Red Army, you should have seen the people, the Red Army, they were just going bananas trying to get them across the line, particularly on Friday night. They almost got there. Damian Martin brought his shoes just in case he had to play because he was on the sideline. He wanted to get out there. He should have seen him. He was just itching to help the team. But now they play 3 games in Melbourne, which means...
It's a tough one.
Yeah, we won't say they can't win. But
even sweeter if they get it done. Even sweeter.
Oh,
it'd be one of the biggest wins in sport, right?
Exactly. It'd be up there with one of the greatest upsets in the history of sport.
Mm, up there with the Mighty Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Quack. 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 Quack, quack, quack. Hey, lacrosse? The latest in lacrosse?
No, I'm not across the lacrosse stuff. I tried Googling it, and have you got anything for us, Kim?
No, I must admit I had a look too. I was just trying to even find out if lacrosse was a winter or a summer sport.
It's definitely on at the moment. It's a good sport. As you Google it, I will tell you that, can we just say well done to everyone in Northampton over the weekend, the fundraiser. Former Eagle Andrew Lockyer ran it. Josh Kennedy from the Eagles went up there. Harry Taylor, who used to play at Geelong, was up there. They raised $50,000 for the Cyclone Seroja recovery situation.
Oh, yes.
And how's this? Harry Taylor, remember him? Played for Geelong? Just retired. He's gone to play up there now. He's absolutely on fire. And he was on $1,100 a goal. So every goal he kicked, $1,100 into the charity
fund. Country footy. Oh, for that one, fundraiser. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's not his pay packet. Yeah, it probably is actually. Yeah. And 3-quarter time, he had 4 goals, 8. And so Josh Kennedy pulls him out at the huddle and goes, mate, what are you doing? You're on $1,100 a goal for charity. Get your act into gear. This is not good enough. And gave him a few tips. Kicked 6 goals in the last quarter.
Good on you.
Raised $11,000.
Good coaching.
Hey, just quickly, in lacrosse news, the St. Joseph High School of Trumbull Boys lacrosse team celebrated its 3rd straight Class S state championship.
Oh, well done.
Thank you.
Ducks.
He got his break in stand-up comedy right here in Perth, and these days hangs out in our lounge rooms on shows like The Masked Singer and Husey, We Have a Problem.
I am pumped up.
He's also part of the Mix 94.5 family on air each weekday from 6 p.m. Please welcome Dave Hughes.
Good morning, Hughesy.
Good morning, guys. And on the subject of basketball, the parochial jam-packed crowd could not get the Wildcats over the line against Melbourne United on the weekend, guys. I know you know that. Oh, but
cancel Barra. We don't need him. Hughesy's done it.
Hughes, you got anything on the lacrosse?
I've got nothing on lacrosse. I know you need a stick and maybe a headband. I feel like it's a headbandy sport.
It feels
lacrosse.
Like a headbandy sport.
Actually,
yeah.
To be fair, Hughesy, I feel like I could turn to you for a few things now because I've seen you are sporting a new beard, some new facial hair, and I think it's very scholarly on you. Like, I don't know what kind of expert you are, but I sort of am thinking environmental science.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Someone who gets paid by the government, I think is what you're saying there. So, look, yeah, I've started growing a beard during the lockdown 47 in Melbourne, and it is, getting a lot of opinions, including from the kids at school pickup. A lot of them are having an opinion about my beard, and a lot of the opinions are really negative from the children. Oh. To be honest, so it's not Christmas yet. Why is Santa Claus here? Although one 10-year-old said to me the other day, as she was on top of the slide, she said, "Your opinion's the only one that matters."
She
went down the slide like some sage.
Is she bringing out a self-help book for Christmas?
I think she might be. Yes, we're going to talk about my wife's opinion.
Well, yeah, surely that's the only one that matters.
She is keen on it, in fact. So she rarely comments on my appearance, apart from telling me to wash my hair. But she's keen on it. And why is she keen on it? I'm speculating that she's bored with the man she's got and she wants to pretend she's with a new man. So.
That's interesting. I have a beard. I look like the sort of bikey that never quite made it. But my wife loves it because she says it makes me look older than her.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like her dad or something.
Well, not quite. Just older than her.
That's quite a selfless thing you're doing, getting around knowing that you look older and going, "I'm doing this for my wife."
Kind of guy I am.
I'm already 10 years older than my wife, though, and so the beard makes me look like her great-grandfather, I think. So, but, you know, she might have that sort of, I don't know, what fantasies go on inside her head, and I'm happy for her to have them.
Hey, Hughesy, occasionally, I'm a prolific Twitter user, occasionally I look over on the right-hand column to see what's trending, and it's quite often that I see Hughesy. Is trending. What did it this weekend?
This weekend was Friday night on the subject of AFL and crowds. In Victoria, there's been no crowds for the last few weeks. So you had extra games in WA, as you know. But they did have a game in Geelong, regional of Victoria, but they only allowed 20% of the normal crowd to come to the game. So because COVID's safe, that's 20%. But then if you watch the game on Friday night, you saw that those 7,000 people were all in the all together. So most of the stadium was empty. And I was speculating, if you wanted to be COVID safe, wouldn't you spread those 7,000 people out? That was my speculation, guys, and that's caused a big stir online.
Seems fair and reasonable.
You would have thought so, but apparently there was a doctor at the ground who said, "It's all very safe here." And I said to that doctor who replied to my tweet, I said, "Well, good on you, but I disagree." And anyway, that that set the internet alight. "You're not a doctor. You're a fool." So, I've copped that all weekend, basically.
Aww. Even with that beard.
Even with the
beard. You're an environmental scientist, and you've got some things to say now.
Look at my beard. Come on.
Hey, can I just say a little happy birthday to my eldest daughter, Mila, who turned 5 last Friday.
Happy birthday, Mila.
Sweetheart, who's currently, she's up and about getting ready for school. She'd be tucking into her cereal right about now.
And she is the sweetheart of the three.
She is. Yeah, if we, I mean,
we don't know what your newest one's going to turn into.
Yeah, our middle one, Isabella, is probably going to be a wrestler.
She's vivacious.
She is vivacious.
Yeah,
that's a nice way of putting it. Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
She's probably going to beat the crap out of people. is where I'd sort of take it. Ollie, not entirely sure yet because he's a newborn. So classic newborn. He just sits there like a little blob.
Yes.
Eating and pooping.
Okay.
Mila's the princess. She's the sweet one.
Oh.
And she turned 5 on Friday, and Friday night was a fairly chilled out affair. Bless you, Matt.
Thank you. Sorry.
You know, we just had the folks come around, a bit of family come around. Yes. We got around the table, blew out some candles, and it was nice. Mm. Just nice. And the reason why was because we knew that the following day would be absolute, utter, and nothing but chaos.
Did you have a party?
Yes.
Okay.
So it was the party with the friends.
Oh, God.
How do you guys find time to organise a children's birthday party when you've got a one-month-old at home?
Mate, this is classic conversation in our household, right? And I reckon any parent listening would probably have said this at some point as well. Liz and I just the other day looked at each other and went, we thought we had no free time when we had no kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like and now we look at it and we go, what the hell did we do with our time when we had no kids? People would say, come out with us on a Friday night. Sorry, we're too busy. We were not busy.
No.
Well, that's why the saying, you know, if you got something to do, give it to a busy person.
Yes.
Because you somehow find 25 hours in a day.
Oh, mate, it was amazing. But anyway, Saturday comes about. And I don't know if you guys remember birthday parties when you were a kid. Right. But I remember a few of them, and I swear to God, I did not end up with the haul of presents that kids get these days.
Yeah. And I didn't know if you meant haul as in H-U-H-A-U-L or haul as in hallway. It's because it's the size of, they could pack it with that as well.
Well, a bit of both.
Full of goods.
And the thing is, like, you know, I feel like presents used to cost a lot more when we were kids. Whereas, like, we've bought our fair share of presents for other kids' birthdays. Mm-hmm. And you get really good presents for, like, 15 or 20 bucks.
Thank you, China.
We're talking things like Lego and Barbie and art sets. And it's just incredible. Anyway, we've had the party. It's an absolute nuts time. There's kids screaming everywhere, and they've done nothing but eat chips and lollies and cake and sugar.
No, I wouldn't go. I've had these myself.
That sounds right up my alley.
Clear.
Oh, it was amazing. And you do, as a parent, you kind of go, oh, this is my excuse to tuck in a little bit as well.
Party pies.
And you do. Yeah. Oh, mate, the party pies were amazing. And we finished up and we, you know, put all of these gifts into the back of the car. Took 3 trips.
What?
Mate, it's amazing. And we get home, and you can just imagine it. Strewn all over our living room are these presents.
Aww.
They are absolutely everywhere. And there she is, the 5-year-old birthday girl, high on sugar and cake all morning and lollies, and the fact that her friends have just gotten around her and lifted her, and she's just sitting on top of this mountain of presents. And it was like a scene out of some movie where a dragon's sitting on top of the gold because her younger sister came near her to even touch one and she was like, no, get away from my presents.
He's a classically trained musician with perfect pitch who's been making us laugh for years in shows like Black Books and QI. And he's headed back to Australia for a comedy tour with a show at the Riverside Theatre on November 1st.
Won't you come home?
Bill Bailey.
He returns to Perth in November. You can get tickets from tickettech.com.au. Bill Bailey, good morning.
Good morning to you all.
Bill, we are so looking forward to having you tour again. I mean, we've heard a lot of the words, the new normal. Your show is called En Route to Normal. So what is normal?
Well, exactly. I mean, that's a good question, isn't it? Therein lies a conundrum. In fact, I guess that's what the show is largely about, is about, you know, there's so much of this talk about, oh, the new normal, this is the new normal. And I always say, well, what about the old normal? I kind of like that. How many normals are there? Are we in a post-normal world? I don't know. The show is about my own experience of lockdown, how we sort of see our way out of it. And, I mean, you know, sanitizing and cleaning ourselves and, you know, I mean, not a bad habit to get into. I mean, you know, staying away from people, not having to go through that terrible trauma. Well, do I shake hands, kiss somebody, hug them?
Yeah.
No, none of that. Just stay 2 meters apart and nod politely. I love that.
It's very British.
It is. It's brilliant. It's like a return to my British upper class starcheliness. It's fantastic. I don't know what I've been up to. What I've been, I wrote a book and.
Well, what about this Patriot Brains that I was reading about? Tell us about that.
The thing is, I was supposed to come over to Australia and New Zealand last year to perform and to tour, but of course that didn't happen. We sort of decided to put it back to this year. But I managed to get out to New Zealand, and it was a kind of a comedy panel show. We're using Australian and New Zealand comics. It was all about both those countries. And I was the kind of neutral host. Well, the sort of, you know, the supposedly neutral host. We had a lot of fun.
Great.
It was great fun. But it was weird. It was weird. It was like a country, you know, it's gone back to normal. You know, people's going out to shows. And, you know, and I sat in a coffee bar, ordered a coffee. This is coming from London, where we've been in lockdown since March of 2020. And I sat in a coffee bar, ordered a coffee without a mask on, and somebody brought me a coffee. And I was like, this is the most decadent thing I've done in a year. It's outrageous.
Bill, you're the first person I've ever spoken to who's had a plant named after him. It's not the Bill Bay leaf, is it?
No, it's not the Bill. You'd think it would be, wouldn't you, the Bill Bay leaf? Sadly, it's not. It's actually a carnivorous pitcher plant. It's called Nepenthes bilbailii, and it's a large pendulous green plant which is a carnivorous, and it lives in Borneo and Sumatra in sort of higher mountainous regions where there's a lot of humidity. And what it does is consumes insects, sucks them downward to downward facing hairs, and consumes them in a mix of water and enzymes. Oh. So it's typically me, really. It just says me.
You've done it because of the recognition of the work you do in the field of conservation. But like, yeah, when they call you to tell you that they're going to name a plant after you, do you have a choice with regards to the plant that they do?
No, you don't. You can't. You've got to take what you're given in that one. In that respect, yeah. You can't say, oh, no. I don't like the look of that. You know, that would be very disrespectful in the whole plant world. I can see you've never had a plant named after you. Because you don't know the protocols. You've just got to be very respectful. It's like getting a knighthood, only in plant form. You have to go, yes, thank you. I'm very honoured to be named after this weird-looking thing that can eat a rat if it's hungry, you know.
Well, Bill, at the moment, the Perth Lord Mayor has been saying, look, we need to get people to Perth. We need to show people what Perth is about, and we don't really know what our identity is. Now, given that you've been to Perth a number of times, how do you think we should sell Perth?
Perth, you've got to say, Perth has done it. It's unique. It's remote yet unique. It's got this beautiful outlook on the Indian Ocean. You've got access to all up and down the coast. It's a jumping-off point to some of the most spectacular bits of Australia. Is this working?
Yeah. We're thinking of naming a plant after you.
Oh, good, thanks. It's a cement plant. Yeah,
mate, we are going to see you here in November, and we bloody can't wait for it. Tickets from tickettech.com.au. Bill Bailey, thanks for catching up with us, mate.
Thank you.
Oh, we're being interrupted. Sorry.
Quite show,
isn't it? Sorry, we're in the middle of something. We're doing something right now. This is vegan activist Tash Peterson.
Yep.
Who, it has been revealed overnight via her own Instagram, has been ordered to, well, not ordered, but she's essentially leaving the state because she's been banned from every licensed venue in WA.
Yeah.
This is the young lady who's protested a couple of times now inside restaurants at an outdoor fair. Mm-hmm. She didn't like the ponies being used and, of course, famously ran onto Optus Stadium.
Yes, yeah, yes. And Right to Rescue, all of that. And so, but now, like, it's a pretty full-on thing they've said. Like, if she sets foot in any pub, club or restaurant serving booze, she can be charged with trespassing and cop a $10,000 fine.
Mm.
So she can't go anywhere in WA, so she's kind of gone, well, I guess I'm just leaving. So she said today she's going to fly out, leave Perth, go somewhere else.
But Kimber, the protesting about the industrial use of animals is really making me uncomfortable.
Oh, it's one of these things where I'm like, oh, veganism, like, I'm all over it. Everyone, you do you, boo. Everyone should be able to eat and do whatever they like. And she has some really important points. Mm. It's just that people don't want to hear them in that format.
Well, like, I've wondered what I would be like if she walked into a restaurant where I was chowing down on a steak. And it would be a steak because generally that's all I eat when I go to a restaurant.
Mm.
And I'd just be like, okay, dinner and a show.
Yeah, totally. Like, let her go for it.
Yeah, you know, just, hey, yeah.
I'll show you what I'll tell you what it does show you is that if the powers that be want to get you, they will get you.
Don't they? Make your life difficult.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I wonder where she's going next.
Yeah, who knows? Well, she said she's not going to stop. She's very passionate about what she believes in. So she's like, I'll just go to a different state and I'll be doing it again.
South Australia. She's gonna tour the country getting banned from every state's licensed venues.
We're welcoming people in South Australia. Come on in. Pete, Matt, and Kimber.